And he was transfigured before them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today in the Gospel, our Lord appears to some of his apostles in all his glory on Mount Tabor. Our Lord didn't do this so that he could show off his glory and power, but so that he could strengthen the faith of the apostles so that when they saw him humiliated and put to death, they would not turn to despair. The cross would be a stumbling block for them, and our Lord knew this. Thus, he hoped to strengthen them now for the future combat. The apostles were ordinary people like everyone else, and Christ knew that they would have a hard time seeing God's will, especially in times of trouble, and thus he encouraged them beforehand by showing to them his glory. The church is following the life of Christ in a certain sense. Before the time of the general apostasy that we are in now, there was the time of the glory of the church, almost a transfiguration, you could say, when the state worked with the church for the salvation of souls, and the true Mass was being said on almost every street corner. It was truly a glorious time. And even before that, there was the time of the persecutions, which were not glorious from a worldly point of view, but when we look upon them now, we realize that we have the same faith today that those had who were put to death. What strength was theirs could be ours as well. And though some of the martyrs desired to shed their blood for the faith and for Christ, not all of them did. St. Thomas More, for example, told his wife not to worry so much about him because he was not made of the stuff that martyrs were made of. What must have been his surprise when he realized the graces he was given, not only to undergo martyrdom, but even to be so calm that he could joke with the executioner. When we look at the history of the church, we are encouraged in the battles which we fight today in our own lives. Perhaps these battles are against non-believing relatives or friends, or perhaps it is against the pull that we have to the world and its pleasures. But in either case, look up to our Lord, who has left his image for us, not in his glory on Mount Tabor, but in his most humbling state, that is, in the cross and in the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord showed us in the Transfiguration, in his resurrection and ascension into heaven, the power that he had and that he was truly God. Yet he comes to us now in such a humbling state to show his love for us and to give us a chance to choose to follow his example. When our Lord was transfigured, his apostles, after they heard the voice of the Father, immediately fell on their faces in fear. It was almost as if they had no choice but to worship God. But in the garden at Gethsemane a few days later, far from adoring God, they couldn't even stay awake to pray. If our Lord had remained with us in the state of glory as on Mount Tabor, how could we choose to love him? That is why he remains with us on the cross and in the Blessed Sacrament, so we can show our love and devotion from our own goodwill. Also, so that we will long for heaven. St. Peter, when he saw the glory of Christ, proposed to build tents so that they could stay there. But that is not what this life is for. We are only passing through and looking not to this world, but to the next, where we hope to go. St. Bernard says, "In heaven, nothing is to be met with which can be disagreeable. There, all that you possibly can wish for is to be found. In this world, there are some who possess all that the world can offer, But with all of this, are they satisfied? No, far from it. Generally, they are less satisfied because the longings of the heart are infinite and can only be satisfied in heaven. On this earth, it is not in our power to comprehend the joys of heaven. Saint Teresa once said that the Blessed Virgin Mary gave her a gold cross with jewels on it, on a gold chain, and hung it around her neck. She said that both the gold and the jewels were so unlike anything that she had ever seen in this world, so that she could not even compare them to any earthly thing. The most precious gold in this world seemed like charcoal in comparison. Charcoal, that is what the joys of this earth look like in comparison to the joys of heaven. How must the apostles have felt after the transfiguration of our Lord, during which they had tasted a little of the joys of heaven? This manifestation lasted only a few seconds, though, for our Lord's mission was not on Mount Tabor, but on the cross. When the apostles looked up, they saw no one but only Jesus. The bright cloud, Moses, Elias, were all gone. All they had left was the memory, which, like all earthly pleasures, soon left them. They would soon desert their master, who had just revealed to them his almighty power. But after the resurrection of our Lord, they would make up for their cowardice by their untiring zeal in the spreading of the gospel. Let us not wait till after we have betrayed our Lord to pronounce him as our ruler. We should at once acknowledge that he is our Lord and God. We are soon to be keeping the anniversary of his sacrifice. We are to listen to the account of his passion during Holy Week. But will we come away from it sorrowful and ashamed of our sins, as did St. Peter, or proud and arrogant like the Jews? Lent is a time to prepare ourselves not only for the coming of our Lord at Easter, but also for his coming as our judge. If we use this Lent well by striving to grow in virtue, even in small things, then we will get closer to Christ, not so much as he was on Mount Tabor, this is not for this life, but as he was on the cross, possessing all meekness and humility. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.